Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Rebel Yell Void.
It's the 28th of March. We should be in a sunny Woodside, sitting there, lads, getting one step closer to the trophy versus Bishop Stortford. But instead, you've got us lovely lot for the next hour or so, bringing you this special Rebel Yell Void. We've got the usual here. Sam, are you there?
Indeed, I'm all here.
Pete's there, aren't you, Pete? How are you doing?
I'm here. I'm all good, thank you.
I don't know where Stu is. Is Stu there yet? Is he called in? Are you there, Stu? That blank means no then. And the special guest we've got right now, there's Tom Chakali, as he's called himself on Skype when he signed on. But Tom Chalet, how are you doing? You okay, mate?
Yeah, all good.
And we've got someone that used to play for us until a few weeks ago. Who's that little Australian wonder there?
It's Cal.
Callum Keeley's back with us today for the live broadcast. Yeah. Guys, how are we all doing? How are we all doing this week? It's a tough week for us all.
Yeah, good.
You know what, mate? It just seems like this week has flown by. I know we're all self-quarantined and it's different for each of us, but for me, the week's gone quick. It just seems like yesterday we were doing this last week, to be honest.
Yeah, it has. It has gone quick. It's a bit of a blur, you know. Obviously, self-isolating at home. Everything's been at home this week. You know, getting on with stuff, but it's kind of blurred into one. Pete, have you been bored at home yet?
No, to be honest, I've been keeping myself busy. You know, active mind, always things to do. So at the moment, I'm okay. But give it another few days, and I'll probably be going stir crazy.
I know, Tom. What have you been doing this week?
I've had a fair bit of college work, to be fair.
Are you all doing it from home right now?
Yeah, got a few assignments due, so I've just been doing that, really.
And I guess we could really say, Cal, you haven't really been fully affected by the league's decision this way, by the FA, because the National League is still, in theory, playing. For those that you, I'm sure everyone knows now, Callum is playing for Sutton United. He joined them at the end on transfer deadline day, wasn't it? You joined joined this time. So, you know, how has that been? What have the lads been saying there?
We're just like week to week at the moment. It's weird. Like, obviously,
level
it's working its way up from like step 5 to 6, then 3 and 4. But we're just playing it as like each day as it comes, I suppose, and just trying to keep fit. We haven't trained for like 2 weeks now, but I'm just going to wait and see, I suppose.
Have you been sent some fitness sort of things to do out the back and stuff?
Some 5Ks and stuff, and yeah, just keep ticking over, I suppose.
No, so it's really nice to hear you on again, mate. I know we've kept in touch since you've gone, and I know you were hoping to get down to the ground. I mean, unfortunately, you couldn't get down to see that amazing performance against the Albion earlier on in the month. Where were you again? You were somewhere crazily up north, weren't you?
Halifax. We had a game.
Did they put you up in a hotel in the end?
Yeah, we stayed the night, but annoyingly, it was rescheduled, so I was meant to come down. I was meant to play them on a Saturday, but we had some storm. It was a storm, so we went up on the Tuesday, so it's kind of long, but I saw the boys played really well.
we were hoping for some of those long away days down to the southwest if the season had gone ahead. But chaps, I know Pete, you were very, very upset about what's happened this week. Tell us what you thought about it all.
You know, I like to say it as it is. I think it's a total farce. I think basically any decision should be for all of football, not sort of pinpoint non-league outs and say, right, we're gonna null and void your season after all the clubs, the time, the money, everything that's been invested into it, not just from a club point of view, but from a, you know, a fan point of view as well. It's just, I just think it's totally unfair. I personally, my opinion is we should wait till things get back to normal and then try and get this season finished. And, you know, I've seen a few ideas bandied about how we can get over next season when we come to it. But at the moment, I think we should just say, right, put everything on hold. Let's let life get back to normal. And then we take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think any decision, as we've said on our chat groups this week, any decision was never going to be a popular decision. And as you know, I've said that the only decision I think is fair is if they do it across the whole board. Whether they'll do that, I don't know. But obviously, clubs at this level haven't got the money. They haven't got the thing to sue the FA, like clubs like Liverpool may well do if they vault the Premier League.
Well, I think that's one of the questions I'm sort of going to be asking one of our guests later, who's sort of threatening legal action. I can't speak this afternoon. What's the matter with me?
Well, so what Pete is saying. Yeah, what Pete is saying.
Introduction, James, when you went, it's the 28th of March.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of feedback. It was a little bit of feedback on the. I had the microphone turned up. This old amateur broadcast. You wouldn't get me on Radio 1 doing that, would you? You know. Anyway, from what Pete has alluded to. So if you haven't seen on our social media platforms this afternoon, we have actually arranged some special guests. First of all, appearing in a little bit will be our own chairman Barry Hunter, who's agreed to come on and chat about the decisions and what it means for the club. Pete will be chatting to him. Then later on in the broadcast today, we will be. Talking to Hastings United CEO and later on the South Shields chairman. So we have a range, you know, those clubs are at the top of their own respective divisions, like Worthing, South Shields even. So I think they were actually, were they confirmed as promoted, Pete?
No, not quite, but they, they had a real, you know, top of the league by 12 points, I think it was, 9 points, sorry, 12 points with 9 games left, so... they look like they were going to do it. Don't forget as well, we've got Adam Hinshelwood coming on as well.
Hinch is coming on in a bit as well, so we'll try and keep Hinch from talking as he does. I'm sure Callum and Tom, you know how Hinch gonna go on chatting. He's filled a lot of minutes on our podcast for the Hinch's corner, which we did on our first podcast the last month.
You know he's listening, James.
Yeah, I know. He feels a lot of airtime for us, and I at least I can say it from behind my computer like a proper keyboard warrior. He's not going to come out to me now, is he? He don't actually. He might know where I live. Pete will probably tell him where I live. He delivered the fans. To me, didn't you?
I did. I'll point him out to you.
So if you haven't heard, the fanzine is available, guys. £3.50. paypal.me/rebelyellwfc. Sam will sort out getting a post. Sam, how many have we had ordered so far?
Had about 35-40 orders, which I'm really proud with and pleased with. Obviously,
brilliant.
It gives you a little bit of sunshine, a bit of joy to your life at the moment. Obviously, with the decision, we're all a bit emotional and upset about it. But let's hope that we can just make the most of a bad situation. And when we do get playing again, you know that with Seidel, the crucial environmental, it will be packed. We'll be there singing behind the goal and cheering on the lads. And we've got to obviously mention the women's team as well. The women's were guaranteed promotion and that's been cruelly taken away from them now. So they're in the same boat to the men's.
They are indeed, they are. It's an awful situation. We tried to get one of the women's team or the women's manager on, but we haven't heard from that yet. So maybe in a future broadcast. We said we were going to do this sort of every week, every other week. Time permitting, I think we could easily commit to that through the closed season, at least till the end of the official season. You what?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. It just gives everyone something to do on a Saturday at 3 p.m.
Callum, how have the Sutton fans, have there been any chat through, I know you haven't been there the longest of time so far, but as said, what's the speak been around there about these decisions made in step three downwards? Do they think it's going to happen to step two?
Yeah, well, to be honest, no one really knows anything. Everyone's just sort of saying the same stuff. That it's all rumours, but until anything's confirmed, then I think everyone will have an opinion afterwards. We're just sort of in the same boat as everyone else, I suppose. But, you know, we're meant to go back early April. Whether or not that gets pushed back yet or not, more than likely it will be, but we're just waiting and seeing, I suppose.
And I guess it affects you as well, because you can't really get home and see the family, which I know you were talking about.
No,
with
exactly,
your missus.
Yeah,
and,
well, all the flights are gone, and obviously I can't go back because I'm contracted to stay, so I'm just sort of stuck here, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously it's affected everyone. It's affecting your missus' job, it's affected my job and everything, you know, now. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be a long old summer, I think. And without these 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday and weekday, I think it's going to be a little bit tough. Tom, what's the youth guys been saying about this? You know, obviously their season's been ended now as well. What's been the chat around there?
Yeah, we're devastated, to be honest, because we're top of the league. I mean, Lewis do have two games in hand on us. We're top of the league. We're in the County Cup against them as well, which at the moment I think they're still looking to get that, maybe in pre-season. But yeah, no, we're devastated. A lot of hard work, training sessions, just like the first it really, all in the same boat.
Yeah, and you've obviously been on the fringe of that first team this season, so it must be equally tough for you in more ways than one, because you know you haven't got that, you know, glory from either the youth and the first team setup.
No, definitely. The same for my college football as well. We're in a County Cup final, we're in Nationals, and that's all been scrapped. We're at the Sussex final as well. I don't think that's been cancelled as of yet, but it's not looking like.
And, you know, we've said as fans this week.
The thing is, Tom, is obviously you scored your first senior goal for Worthing, and that's going to be expunged from the record books.
Yeah, I'll still count it, though. That still counts.
We'll still count it, Tom. We'll still count it. Don't worry about that.
Caps in my head.
Well, especially those lot down the road trying saying that they haven't actually, they've still got their record since 99. No, you haven't, guys. You haven't. It might be expunged, but we've beaten you twice. We put six past you this season without reply. I think Callum, you scored in the Bognor games, didn't you?
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, you've got to count that as well. But right, chaps, well, if you guys stick around, we've got a lot of listeners on. So thank you, guys. 45 listeners so far. And we welcome those fans from South Shields and Hastings that have joined us today. What we're going to do is we're going to play a little song for you now. As I said, we're going along with the coronavirus themed songs. Chaps, Tom and Callum, we'll call you back in a bit. Barry's going to be on the line soon. And stay tuned on rebelyell.live. Thanks for listening, guys.
Rebel Yell Void.
We're back, guys. Hope you liked that little song, Work From Home by Fifth Harmony there. A little coronavirus link there. We have got our chairman, Barry Hunt, on the phone. Barry, can you hear me?
I can, James. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Yourself, mate. How are you feeling after this week? I know Pete will ask you, but just for myself, how are you feeling on a personal level?
Well, on many levels, it's a difficult week, isn't it? Nationally, yeah. Internationally. And then, you've got our own challenges as a club and as a league. It's tough, disappointing and difficult. But let's see if we can put some positive spins on it.
Yeah, no, I know our little owner, Mini Motti himself, Pete's on the line now, right now, aren't you, Pete? So you're gonna be a question master for the moment. Let's get down to it, chaps. I know Pete's got some questions to ask you, Barry.
Sure.
Okay. Well, James has just sort of mentioned, you know, your sort of personal thoughts of it. So do you think this FA should have made an across the board decision for all levels of football rather than going out on a limb like they have?
Well, look. Let me first just say that I think, as a person, as a management committee, as a club in general, I think we're all incredibly disappointed with what's happened. It's gut wrenching. You know, there's so many things that we've done so well this year, and you know what Adam's achieved, what Michelle's achieved with the women's. We just heard some of the junior teams as well, and how well they've been doing. All of this is going to be expunged potentially, and I think it's it's incredibly disappointing. And we've been working hard as a committee as well on, you know, if we do go up, what's the plan? How does that look? What do we need to do with the ground? And there's been kind of two paths of actions that we've been taking as well. So it's been incredibly difficult. We're incredibly frustrated by it. And I suppose, Pete, what I would say is that the announcement, I guess, or the statement that the club made recently on the back of this decision was kind of reflecting the fact that we were under the strong impression that this decision was made. There was no alternative. The FA had said, this is what it is. Game over, as it were. And I suppose my first thoughts were, my absolute instinct was to try and make sure that we try and draw a line in the sand of this very sorry episode and get on the other side, because I know as a club how much is going on off the park and on the park and how much work we've got to do. So I wanted to get people's minds and attentions on the other side of this line in the sand. But what it appears now is that actually this process isn't done. There are opportunities for us to take on our views, and I think in the light of that, we're going to be very clear about taking that and voicing our opinion.
Okay, thank you, Barry. Do you think if the FA stick with this decision, do you think it will tarnish the reputation of the FA, and do you think it's going to have an adverse effect on actual non-league football?
Look, I know a lot of people at the FA. I think they do a good job. Most of the time, it's an incredibly good organisation. There are some very difficult decisions that sometimes need to be made. This was one of them. And I actually think whatever they decide, some people will have a different view. So they're not going to get this one right. That said, I think the management committee and me, we all believe that what we want is we want to be treated equally across the pyramid. We don't see why any club in the National League grid system, the pyramid, should be treated differently from Liverpool down. Okay, there's more commerciality at the top end, but why would be under their governing body, why would we all be treated in a different way? And I think that's what one of the things that we need to take to them and ask of, because it doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, absolutely. If it was your decision to make, what would your preference be for actually finishing the season? Would you prefer to play it to completion, or would you do the points per game? Or,
well, funny enough, we discussed this as a committee this morning because I wanted to get everybody's view. And do you know what? We were 8 of us on a call and we were all unanimous. So that's quite interesting. Our view is that this season shouldn't be null and void. We should wait, suspend the season, and then finish the season off. I mean, what, we've got eight games to go, probably 2 a week, four weeks a month. We could complete the season. And I think that does two things, really. First of all, it gives everybody the fair chance of concluding whatever will be. But secondly, it passes the issue on to next season. And I think then any disruption to next season could be done on a level playing field. At the moment, it's disrupting and disadvantaging so many clubs, whereas delaying it, deferring it, and moving the issue into next season and doing whatever's necessary will be treated equally to all clubs. And I think that's probably the fairest thing, whether it's to postpone a cup competition, reduce the number of games, whatever it is, everyone treated the same. And I think that's the important thing the FA have got to try and achieve.
I couldn't agree with that more, to be honest, Barry. I think that's the course of action that I'd be looking to get from them. Yeah. So anyway, back to sort of, you know, Worthing. Obviously, the finances have stopped coming in now. We should have had four more home games, etc., to come. We should have been at home today against Stortford. What sort of position are we in at the moment? Will we, can we survive this as a small non-league club?
Absolutely, we will. Because in the committee that we have now, we're very disciplined. We've thought this through. We've already identified that we're not going to get any revenue in now for a few months. And so what we've had to do is hunker down on our expenditure. So as long as we can remain neutral through this period, then there's no reason in the world whatsoever why we shouldn't come the other side. And I expect us to do that fully. There are things and schemes that we can apply for which will help us. And that's what the government's tried to achieve with rates, with the job retention scheme that we might be able to use to help our players and some of our staff. So once we unlock and unravel all the sort of rules around applications, we'll be dipping into some of that to try and help the cause. But be rest assured, the club is going nowhere. All we're doing is going to focus on making sure if we do stay in this league, we get over the line next season. But if we do go up, then we're prepared for it.
Excellent. Obviously, we as fans all want to go up to the National League South next year. I was going to ask you about the government schemes, but you've already stolen that question.
Sorry, Pete.
That's all right. So if it, this decision is comes down and is ratified by the FA, obviously we've had to pay money to join the league this season, the affiliation fees. What do you think their approach will be to next season's fees?
Well, don't get me started. I mean, I think...
that was the whole point, Barry.
I know. I think that if the season's treated as null and void, and believe me, and I know we've got guests coming on later and you'll hear how vociferous the opinion is on this, and we are absolutely getting into that slipstream and working with the likes of the South Shields chairman, Jeff Thompson, and other clubs, there's real momentum now. And I think if the season does end up being null and void, then the season is null and void. And what that would mean is a lot of the expenses that we've incurred, probably we should be asking back. It's been an expensive season for us as a club and at a time when we're trying to really strengthen what we're about. So, yeah, we'll be... The actual league registration sums, they're not a huge amount of money, but it's the principle, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. So obviously we've been under strict orders from James to sort of do it in 10 minutes and we're coming up to that 10 minutes.
Yeah. I'm watching you. I've got my stopwatch out.
So Barry, have you signed the petition online?
Petition for this cause?
Yeah, to overturn, to get the decision overturned.
Yeah, we've got, funny enough, that's just been, there's two or three different petitions going on.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, so what's really important here, Pete, is that we need to just be sure that this doesn't become an emotional appeal. The actual appeal we go for here is a really rational one that's led in by good process, because at the end of the day, it's the process that we follow now that will be very, very important. So what I'm trying to understand is which petition is doing which and which is an official one, which is not. And when we understand that, you can be rest assured that we'll be right in the middle of it. Because as a club, we, you know, like South Shields, we're right at the top of our league. We, you know, and 7 points clear, 8 games to play, and we're right at the brunt of this. And for sure, we'll be in the mix with everybody else.
Excellent. So, right, thank you, Barry. Thank you for being open and honest with us. And I will.
Barry, thanks for listening.
To James.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. It's really, really appreciate it. And, you know, keep tuning in for the rest of the broadcast. And, you know, I'm sure it won't be the last time I speak to you. If there's any update, you know, throughout the week or the next couple of weeks, would you be happy to come back on again and chat to us when we do the next broadcast?
Hey, absolutely. James, look, I'm part of the club with you. And if you need me to come on and add some comments or opinion or updates, happy to do that. Listen, you guys are doing a great job. Well done.
Thank you, Barry. Shame thanks, we can't Barry. Be having a pint down a Woodside bar right now. But, you know, we'll play some music instead and hope you enjoy the rest of the broadcast. Barry, thank you from all of us. And you've had a spike in the listeners, so we appreciate that. So thank you, Barry. The Barry effect on the listeners. Yeah, there we go. Cheers, Barry. We'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Speak to you soon. Cheers, guys.
Rebel Yell Void.
Guys, how to miss. Guys, saying thank you very much to Pete Vale there. It was a fantastic interview with Barry Hunter, the chairman of Worthy. And to continue the theme of chairman and CEO today, we have got Billy Wood on the line, the Hastings United chairman. We played you in the FA Cup earlier on, well, this season that we kind of don't call a season anymore, didn't we?
Yeah, you did, just before my time actually joining the club. But, you know, I've actually seen both games full 90 minutes from our film crew and stuff. And you guys are quite lucky, let's just give it that.
Oh, yeah. No, that last minute equalised, I think, by Shola Iobi there. He was he got us into that replay. And, you know, we took it right to the death at Woodside Road as well. But, you know, we're talking about the season that's no more anymore. And Pete's on the line again, Mr. Motti himself. He's going to give you some interviews. Not too much of a grilling like you had on TalkSport and cutting you off like you did the other night. But Pete, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Billy, firstly, happy birthday for yesterday.
Thanks, mate. It was a very interesting day, let's just say that. But being isolated on your birthday is a blessing in a disguise, I guess. And so it was a fun day, swimming with the kids. But I think the sad part is that it's 3:30 on a Saturday afternoon and we're not at the football. And I think...
Exactly.
It's gutting, but it is what it is. And what's more important, we'll go into this situation, but you know, we have to realize the most important thing right now is people are losing their lives, you know, around the world. And we have to sometimes take a little reflection onto that, self-reflection, and think, you know, we're lucky that we're healthy at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of carrying on from that point, obviously we felt we was forced into sort of doing this broadcast today because of what's happened in a week. Like you say, it's, you know, probably not the time to be doing it because of people losing their lives in the current situation that we're in. But, you know, maybe on the other hand, the FA could have waited till things have settled down before they've actually done anything at all. What do you think about that?
Well, like I said yesterday morning, I kind of feel like the decision was lazy. Now, I know there's been a further small statement from the FA on how they got to their decision about leagues were consulted and whatnot. And I've seen that some leagues actually ended up consulting some of their members. Well, I don't remember being consulted by the Isthmian League on our feelings on it. I listened to the Worthing chairman just now, and I have the very same opinion that if the Premier League... The English Football League and the National League are willing to wait and willing to abide a bit of time till they make a decision whether they're going to continue or not. I don't understand why step three down to step six couldn't, you know, do exactly the same thing. That's the bit that really frustrates me, is the fact that it feels incredibly rushed. It feels like the pressure to make a decision has made them make a decision way too quickly. And also, it just doesn't feel very thought through. And that's the bit that's frustrating. It's not the fact that, you know, not being promoted, I guess, is incredibly frustrating for many, many reasons, not just a footballing reason, but financially for the football club in other areas. You know, do you maintain, do you keep your staff? You know, there's a lot of things to consider, but it's more of a case of, on my personal perception of it is, it's just rushed and lazy, and I can't get past that point, really.
Okay, why do you think they felt rushed into a decision? Is there any reason that would happen?
I don't know. I think, you know, there was a lot of debate whether certain clubs would go out of business over, you know, waiting so long for games, and what do we do with contracted players? What do we do with registrations? I feel like it was just, I don't know, it just felt like it was always a bit of, I felt it myself. I felt there was a bit of a pressure for information every single day. We were given a date of when they expected us to come back. Now, don't get me wrong. Did I expect us to be playing football again on the date we were given by our leagues? Absolutely not. You know, not in this current climate. But that being said, there was a date there. So why was there a decision to stop it completely and then a couple of days later to then null and void it? It just doesn't add up, but it doesn't. It just feels a bit, it feels wrong. It feels very, very wrong on many, many different levels. It feels like a lot of clubs, not just the ones that are top of the table, by the way. This goes to a lot of clubs that have gone for it this year in their divisions. Put their money where their mouth is. Really gone, spent time and hours putting squads together. The volunteers working every single weekend to have the grounds open. Everyone putting their time and effort in for them to turn around and go, thank you very much for all your hard work, but now it actually, the last 7 months mean nothing. And that's the bit that gets to me, is the fact you're not just telling us as chairman or chief execs or managers or players, you're telling the supporters and your volunteers who are, by the way, the lifeblood of a football club, volunteers. Without them, clubs at our level wouldn't operate. You're telling them that literally their hard work wasn't worth anything.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Absolutely. So at the start of the season, did you, sort of a thing for yourselves where you went, right, this season's our season, we are pushing for promotion? Because I know sometimes teams are in the league and they haven't got the money and the finances to sort of have a big push. Was there something that Hastings were doing this season?
I don't think it was just this season. I think Hastings have, been looking to push for the last couple of years. They've wanted to get out of this division for a long time now. It's been a long time coming for the club. The club have been, no fault to their own, just got a little bit stagnant in the sense of stuck in this league. I think with Chris as the manager, the club is starting to push. Well, it is pushing in the right direction. The squad was put together by Chris, a fantastic squad of players, across the team, and it was felt by everyone at the club that we can do it. There was no negative feeling around the club. We were very positive about every aspect of what we were doing here, on and off the pitch. So yeah, this season was pivotal in our larger plans. So to be 10 games left, 6 points clear, at the top of the table, with a decent running, may I add, a very decent running, it just feels like we've been kicked in the teeth a little bit. And it's not that we're advocating, we're sitting here and saying, it's got to be points per game no matter what. Personally, I don't like the idea of being handed a title, but if the league is going to stop, it should be points per game based on how the percentage of games that have been played. But if, like I go back to the point I said earlier, if the Premier League, the English Football League and the National League, okay, our top two steps in our pyramid are going to restart or look to restart at a later date, then why couldn't we? And that for me is the most important question. Why? Give us some real solid facts of why we couldn't. For example, if they're saying that, we'll void everything now and we'll start again next for the 2020-21 season. So that would normally start in August, okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
If the Premier League, Football League and the National League do restart, that's probably going to be about June, July. They're probably going to play for a couple of months. They're then going to need, an off season as such in between, starting a new season. That probably will be August. Then you're looking at a pre-season, potentially. And I'm shortening this as well. That could be September. Yeah. And then they could start in October. So when would we start? Would we actually start in August and wait 5 months like we are for any revenue to come into our football club for match days? Because we're not going to have match days for 5 months. Or are we going to wait until October? 7 months. So that's another question to ask. When do they expect us to start? Why is it important for those leagues to be finished and ours not?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Obviously, I can hear the passion in your voice here. So did you actually, with finances, et cetera, your stadium, had you already started doing the preparations for promotion and what you're going to do next season, for next season?
Yeah, you work with a certain mindset. At Hastings United, we work with a real positive mindset, like anything's possible. That's kind of our mentality at the football club. On and off the pitch, I think that's been put together. The culture's been put together here at the club by so many different key members of staff, from the directors, the management team, the coaching team, and the players. It really has. But we've done stuff that, you know, we've spent money. We've had to spend money on keeping, you know, the pilot field is 100 years old this year. It's an old ground that needs, you know, financial upkeep. You know, there's things that we have to do, you know, to keep the ground within our, within the ground grade that we need. And we spent a lot of money on doing that. But, you know, that's something that we would have done anyway, because you want to make sure your ground is kept up, kept looking how it should look and how it should be for the level. It's not just that. It's you pay registration fees for a league that we've been now told that actually is null and void. So what happens to that? What happens to the fines of the players who played games that didn't exist? Okay. And yep, we've paid a lot of wages out. Now, I'll never take them away from the players. Absolutely not. They put in their hard work and they put in their passion, their hard work on the pitch and off the pitch, training wise, to deliver for this football club. We've effectively spent a serious figure, serious within our means, may I add, but we've gone way beyond our means as a football club. We spent, you know, a good figure to challenge and to progress up this pyramid, you know, to be then told that it doesn't really, it's null and void, you know. And I keep saying it, but it dumbfounds me. It absolutely dumbfounds me that I saw earlier one league was consulted and there was a percentage of who on four different options, I think it was, or three or four different options. And null and void was, you know, wouldn't even have had a majority percentage based on that league asking their members. Why?
Yeah, Billy. I've actually got this on my phone because I've done it earlier. Option one was resume when possible, which had 11 votes. Option two was declared this season null and void, 10 votes. Option three was freeze the season and declare current positions as final, had 4 votes. And option four was freeze season and complete the table on a points per game basis, which had 11 votes. So, yeah, it was a tight vote apart from the current standings. Apart from that, all the other three were, you know, pretty much the same, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, but then I asked the question, the issue, I can't, you know, maybe the other Ishman League clubs can tell me otherwise, but I can't remember being asked our opinion on things. You know, what are we, just a member club for the sake of being a member club? Now, we should be asked these questions. It affects us, not just us as Hastings. You know, you look at, you know, Whitehall, Ashford, Herne Bay, you know, Cray Valley, you know, clubs that have also gone for it. You know, you know, their positions should be respected too. You know, I don't believe that the teams challenging that potentially could have gone up get punished, but the teams that effectively, you know, may have finished bottom by, you know, a fair distance, or, you know, really kind of given up, you know, whip their budgets back because they're going to go down, get rewarded.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And first, that's a fair comment. 27, what was it, 27 wins? And they're being told that they, effectively, based on what they've been told at the moment, that they are going to have to do it again. How demoralising is that?
That's it. It's the same as a women's team. They've won 14 games out of 14, got promoted, clinched promotion the other week, and yet they can't go up. And you're just like, just leaves a sour taste in the mouth.
It does. Look, and look, this is unprecedented times. Look, we didn't. No one expected this. You know, 9 months ago, no one expected this when they were putting their budgets together for the season. But isn't this going to make clubs very wary going forward? Isn't this going to, you know, if this can happen, what's to say this can happen again down the line?
Yeah.
What's to say that the FA can just strike a motion and do this to us in another situation similar? You know, so
I see. That's sort of there was one of the other questions I was going to ask you. I just called you Barry. Then it's Billy. Sorry.
Very similar.
Yeah. But, you know, that was one of my other questions was, you know, if this does happen, do you think it's going to tarnish the reputation of the Football Association? And do you think it's going to have an adverse effect on the future of non-league, where fans will be like, well, the FA just treat us second-rate citizens. Why do we bother going and pumping our money into clubs?
Well, I hope not. I hope not. You know, look, the FA does a lot of good. It's not just a... I don't want to, you know, demonise them too much on this interview and such. And I hope, in retrospect, they're looking at it a little bit and thinking maybe we should, you know, look into this a little bit more deeper now. You know, kind of not pull the decision back. I'm not saying that, you know. I think they should be looking at it and going, there should be an appeal process and it should be listened to. And then on that basis, make a decision. Because it just feels like it was a little bit uneducated. And that's, for a governing body, that's sad to kind of say.
Yeah, absolutely. So, right. Anyway, Billy, I think we've come to the end of our time because James will get the hump.
I'm all right. I'm loving listening. I'm just carried away listening. It's fantastic. It's really great for you to come on and speak to us, mate. So thank you so much for that. Like, you know, it's nice to hear that, you know, we're very Worthing and centric, obviously, as a fan association. But, you know, in these times, it's great to get other clubs involved. So, you know, thank you. Thank you so much.
No worries at all. You know, this is a moment when about us being treated as second-class citizens by the FA. This is a moment for the non-league to really stand up, right? And, you know, we've got some incredible passionate supporters and numbers are going up. Look at Worthing's numbers this year. You know, it's, for me, we are at a time where non-league football is becoming a trendy thing again, and we can't allow this sort of situation to put us back. We've got to stand together and we've got to push forward.
Well, fingers crossed something happens this week and next couple of weeks. And please do keep in touch, Billy. And, you know, it'd be good to get you on again if any decisions change in the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks. And we'll do another live broadcast if that's okay with you.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you, chaps. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Billy. You take care, guys. And we'll be back shortly. Play another coronavirus song right now. Enjoy, guys.
Rebel Yell Void.
Hey, gentlemen, we're back. Thank you very much for Billy Wood, the CEO of Hastings United there. We've got all the gang back together, apart from Stu that can't connect in. So are we all here, guys? Can you hear me? Everyone but Stu?
Yeah.
And I think, Pete, it might be time for you to get Hinch involved. Have you got him ready to dial yet? Is he involved yet? So we get him, have a chat, see if not he yet. Can if yeah. he can convince Callum to come back to Worthing.
Well, you're breaking up a bit there, Jane.
Everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Breaking up.
Are we all here? Like the good old wonders of technology and modern technology, eh, guys? So, yeah, if you could get Hinch ready and call in, guys. So, we've got Jasper. Jasper's been being a good boy today. He's been doing his shopping for his grandma. Where have you been today, Jas?
I washed my car this morning with my brother. Then I went, got some shopping, bits and bars, some salsa, some sour cream and chive, bananas. Must be nachos tonight, mustn't it? So I've got a few bits for the old deer and just... doing what I can.
was that
brilliant.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, hold on.
How did your mum enjoy the Mother's Day gifts last week? Did she love them?
Absolutely buzzing with that.
So I think Pete's going to try and get the gaffer involved again, because obviously we want to hear his decision and what's happened this week. Because have you heard anything from him yet, mate?
All right, let me get on to James about it.
I think they're laughing. What's he getting on to me about?
Stu says he's been sitting there since 3 o'clock waiting.
I know, but I've just tried to add him to the call. Good old Stu. He's, bless him, he's sitting there on his sofa wanting to get involved. We can't call him in. Has he called you on his mobile?
No, I called him. He said, can someone phone my mobile to test that I'm actually working?
It's like, it says he's online, but it says, guys, we're using Skype here. He says he's online, and I don't know what he's doing. Have you heard from the gaffer, Pete?
I'm just about to give him a call.
He's going to give him a call.
Give me 2 minutes. Just trip over.
Let me see if I can get... Stu, Stu this way. And I'll call him on Facebook Messenger. I'll put him next to the microphone so we can all hear him. I know. He loved it. Hello, Stu. Can you hear? You're right by the microphone.
No,
I can hear you now.
Can everyone else hear Stu?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, we've got Callum, Tom, and Jasper on the line. Obviously, me, yeah. Sam. How we do? What a little message for Stu, guys.
I like just absolute joke, isn't it? Really.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, sounds like children in need, this, doesn't it?
I can't hear anything except from your voice, mate. So.
Oh, really? Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. It's, we'll Stu, I'll keep on trying to add you to Skype. He's going to get the gaffer on the phone now. So let me keep on trying while he's got Adam on the phone, and I'll keep trying in a minute.
Okay, well, I've got the boss man, James.
Boss man is here. So if you are listening, Adam Hinchwood. Hello, Adam. Hope you're all right, mate. And looking forward to hearing your view on what's going on.
Yeah, because he can't actually hear you, James.
Well, you could repeat him like a sign language person.
Sorry, James.
It's all right. He's boring anyway, Adam. Don't worry about it.
No, mate, when more radio call, you know it.
Adam, firstly, you know, as fans, depending what happens, I think everyone, you know, wants to thank you, the coaching staff, the players, for providing us with, you know, entertaining football. And, you know, getting us to the position that we're in. It seems it might have been taken away. How are you actually feeling at the moment?
Yeah, just disappointed for the players, really. They've been sort of impeccable in their approach all season. Their attitude towards their work has been sort of a pleasure to be a part of. And they're generally good people. So disappointed for them. But, you know, it's a little difficult one. It's a tough call for the league to make, and I'm sure it's not a decision they've taken lightly. And like I say, it's sort of unprecedented sort of times at the moment. The whole sort of country's a bit in limbo at the moment with everything that's going on. So you've got to take their decision. The main people are just like the players. They've put a lot of hard work and effort in the season, and disappointed they're not going to get the rewards for that. But like I say, we'll have to make sure we come back fighting stronger next season, whatever that may be.
Okay. And do you think the FA decision should have been across the board, really, for all leagues, just for fairness?
Possibly. I'm sure they sort of looked at that sort of decision, but I don't know why. I sort of can't understand why they come up with the decision they have made, but that's the thing, that you're still going to get a season finished potentially in the Football League and other leagues, which makes it a little bit tough to take. But yeah, like I say, I'm sure that they've spent hours having meetings and trying to come up with the right decision, which they felt was right. But like I say, they're the people that we've got to trust their decisions. And I'd say it's a tough one to take, but you know, like I say, we've got to respect the decision they've made.
Okay, what would you be your preferred, you know, way of sorting it out? Would you have preferred a points per game, something like that, rather than just another void after all the hard work that's gone in?
Yeah, potentially. I think if, you know, the season finished with 30% of it done, or, you know, even 50% of it, then, you know, potentially a lot easier to take. But having played so much of it, you know, only 8 games ago, I believe it was about 80% of the season was complete. I don't think anyone could have argued if they went with that decision as well. And I'm sure it's one that they sort of took into consideration. Why they deemed not to go for that, I don't know. But like I say, I'm sure this was all discussed with the powers that be. And you're just hoping that the right people were in there for these meetings. And yeah, if they... you know, the wording sounds a bit strange to me, and I don't think they sort of really come up with a full explanation of why the points per game wasn't taken into consideration. But, you know, I'm sure they had their reasons, and not so. So just disappointed for the players, put so much hard effort in the season and stuff like that. So my obviously my preferred stance on it would have been to be points per game, but so that's because we're sitting at the top of the table. If we was in the relegation spots, then I'm sure we wouldn't have done so. There's always going to be some teams that wanted one outcome and some never.
Yeah, I did notice there was a tweet from a manager in the, I don't know if you saw it, in the National League South. I won't mention the club or the person's name, but he put a tweet out with like, we are staying up, we are staying up. It's kicking the whatnots, isn't it, really?
Yeah, possibly. Not too worried about that. Just really focused on now and getting everyone coming through with a clean bill of health. I think is the main thing in the upcoming weeks. And once we've got that, then trying to get back to as normal life as everyone possibly can. And football being a big part of that for a lot of us. So the sooner we can get going on that, the better, really. But just from my point of view, it'd be good to know sort of when the season's going to kick off again, and just real determination now to make sure that we're having come back better and stronger than we were last season.
Do you think the FA have sort of jumped the gun a bit, really, that they should have just sort of waited, see what happens? Obviously, life is more, more important. So they could have sort of put all the leagues on the back burner, like they've done with the rest of them, and then approach this, in the future when we actually know what's going on.
Yeah, potentially. I think the reasoning maybe behind that is because no one actually knows what the outcome is going to be when the season could be resumed again. It's, a difficult one to put a point on when, if we knew everything was going to be back to normality as best we could. At the end of May, then they would have something to go off. But I think they've just assumed that not much football's going to get played before our season's due to finish. And I assume that's why they've come up with this sort of decisions they have. I'm sure it's been difficult for them. Everyone's got their opinions and stuff like that. And we've got a lot of respect for it. The decisions they made, because they're the people that are in charge of our league and what goes on.
Okay, so anyway, let's get on to more sort of positive things.
Yeah.
If we can. Okay, if this season is to be null and voided, I think we're going to hear a lot more about this, to be honest, but let's leave that on the back burner for a moment. What sort of been your highlight of the season for yourself, personally?
I think just the sort of way the team sort of come together. We had a real sort of spell to respond. It hasn't all been plain sailing. It hasn't been like a whole season where we smashed every team by four or five goals and we was undoubtedly streets ahead of everybody. It's been a real case of us really grafting and working hard, and everybody, from Stu, everything he does, right through to the playing squad and all the coaching staff and everything, all had to work hard. And I think that's been the most pleasing thing. To get beat as heavily as we did against Hornchurch at home, and to then go on a run and respond, the players respond in the way they did, it's been exceptional, and it's been the real highlight for me, really, how sort of squads really come together and their work ethic and everything that I've seen from them has been excellent. Players that have been out of the squad have been like leading extra running sessions themselves because they know they want to be, in a great place for when they get the opportunity. And the actual work ethic of the players has been the main highlight of what I've had to like pleased to witness over the course of the season.
Excellent. So, do you think you're going to be able to keep most of his squad together for most next season? Tough question, I know.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm sure there's going to be players that go on to bigger and better things from the squad that we've got this season and there was last season. And I'm hoping to keep the nucleus of what we got and keep it together because obviously it's a good tight-knit group and one that I feel has still got a lot more potential in it. We've still got players I feel that are still to reach their sort of peak in their careers and stuff like that. So that's really exciting as well to see that. I think, you know, players now entering into like that 21-22 bracket when we start seeing a bit more maturity in their play, a bit more consistency, and you know, it's exciting to see that. So hoping to keep the majority of them players and see them in that period. I'm hopeful. I'm sure one or two will go on to bigger better things and we wish them all the best. But then, you know, that gives opportunities for other younger players that we've got at the football club.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is we'll breeze the league next season.
Everyone's going to improve, aren't they? And, you know, one thing we're not going to do is go with that sort of mentality and that attitude. We're going to make sure that we're better than we were last season. And you know, I will see it as last season. I want a better point total with 8 games to go. I want more goals. I want more clean sheets and less goals against, you know, more wins at home. All those sort of things we'll be looking to improve on, and that'll be our mindset from the minute we start back this season.
Excellent. Right, and we've actually got Callum Keeley in the call today.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah, he deserted us, didn't he?
Yeah, in England or come back
home to us? No, I'm here. Try to get flights, but there was none available.
Yeah, he's in England here at the moment.
Oh, right, okay. So I'm sure he's put with a lonely sort of time for him, not being with his family and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, yeah.
If he ever needs, like, someone to call, he can call me and I can bore him for half hour or so.
There's an offer for you, Callum.
I don't like bored, I'm sure he's saying.
Hinch's counselling services.
How's your you went off last week to discipline your children. How's it all going there? Cabin fever?
Brilliant. They've been good as gold, to be fair, like really sort of proud of how sort of well they've all got on and worked hard on their schoolwork and all stuff like that. We've got into a good routine with them, so I'm sure that's going to change. They've been in class so far, so it's all be good. They've all been getting on great at the moment, but yeah, like I'm saying, I'm sure that will change.
Okay, are you doing your Joe Wicks workout every morning?
On that, definitely.
My pods are killing me at the minute.
We'll get up on TV.
Yeah, so
it'll put me to shame.
Sorry, Sam was just saying his quads are killing him at the moment.
Oh, flipping it. My backside from that first day was a joke. Jeez. Let's go over that.
Well, brilliant. I think some great to hear from Adam, Pete.
Oh, bye.
Right, Adam, thanks ever so much, mate, for doing this for us. I know it's a difficult time.
Absolute pleasure.
Really, really appreciate it.
No worries.
All right, we'll speak soon, yeah?
All right, take care, everyone.
Cheers, Pete.
Thanks, Adam. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Hinchwood there, guys. Really good to hear from him. You know, he just sounds so, so truly gutted. We are pleased to say we have finally got Stu on the line. Stu, are you there?
Yes, mate. No,
he's clearly not now, is he? Oh, he's here. Yeah, there he is. Round of applause. He's here,
yeah,
guys.
Can hear him.
But now we're going to have to cut him off because we're going to get the South Shields chairman on just after a musical interlude, and we'll chat to you guys all in a minute. So, Stu, keep. Yeah, we'll be here after the chairman's speech. Right. Thanks, mate. Jesus. I know.
Rebel Yell Void.
Guys, another song there, Intoxicated. I mean, I guess that's what all you guys are doing right now while you're having drinks at home, while you're locked up and locked down. Anyway, and the last of our chairman today, we've got Jeff Thompson, who's the South Shields chairman. Jeff, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good afternoon.
Oh, it's good to have you on, mate, and thank you for arranging this at such short notice. I mean, in the same boat as us Worthing fans here, and I'm sure as many South Shields fans, we're all a little bit gutted. And how are you, just before Pete starts questioning, how are you getting on personally, on a personal level?
Well, the last 48 hours have been very busy for obvious reasons, but like so many of us, I'm isolated at home and obviously, you know, thinking heavily about my health and that of my family, and I'm sure that applies to all of us as much as I am about the recent announcement from the FA. But yeah, I'm fine, other than the news we heard from just 48 hours ago.
So Jeff, you're top of the league, 12 points ahead of FC United, nine games to play. At the start of the season, was you pushing for promotion? Did you put extra money into getting promoted this season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, without sounding arrogant, we've always been an ambitious club. You know, we moved our club back to our hometown about 5 years ago after a period of exile. And ever since then, we've been pushing to do the right thing. And this season's been no exception. You know, we started the year with the intention of being promoted. Again, that's not meant to be arrogant. It was just, you know, we made the right decisions in terms of investing in not just the playing squad, but, you know, across a whole range of things across the club. So as you can imagine, deeply disappointing what we've heard over the last 48 hours.
Absolutely. And I presume you'd started preparing for, you know, next season for life in the National League.
Yeah, we had. I mean, as I say, the last 4 or 5 years, you know, we went back to South Shields, our hometown. you know, we didn't have a home in our hometown 5 years ago. So we went back playing at the time in Northern League Division 2. And, you know, we've been on a steady progression since then. So we've managed to secure three promotions in the last 4 years, and obviously missed out in the playoffs last year. But the point I'm making is that, you know, this year has been no different, in the sense that we've continually tried to be ambitious, tried to invest in the right things, not just the first team, but our academy, our futures academy, the management structure, all the work we're doing across our foundation within the community. So the club's been very busy and very forward-thinking. And obviously, in terms of first team results, we were hoping very hard and very firmly to get promoted this year and move into National League North. And that's, you know, that's been very much part of our plan from the beginning, to try and carry on and push forward.
Like a lot of clubs in the same position, sort of, you know, including ourselves. How did you find out the news? Was it on Twitter, like quite a few other people?
Yeah, amazingly, yes. I heard on social media. I had been in touch with Mark Harris, who's the chair of our league, you know, Northern Premier League. I'd been in touch with him the day before, and he kind of alluded to what might be coming, but it hadn't been confirmed. But even that was a call that I made to Mark, and it was, as I say, unconfirmed. So, to hear it on social media with no formal communication from elsewhere was a little disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah, so with this announcement, when the season was suspended, how would you prefer the season to be resolved? Points per game? Just wait till we can play again? Or,
well, I think there's a number of things I'd say. Obviously, I've commented on how the communication was delivered, so that was pretty poor. I would say that there was no need, in my opinion, to make the decision right now, because, you know, we'd had this delay, which was only a week or so into the delay, i.e. this postponement. So one could argue that the FA didn't need to make the decision as early as it has. I strongly believe that's the case. We shouldn't have made the decision yet. But thirdly, of course, I want, and I'm sure many, many other clubs want, including your good selves. I've been speaking to your chairman, and literally about 50 other clubs have been in touch with me over the last 24 hours. So there's a big groundswell of opinion, all of the same view, and that is that, you know, we've got to be treated fairly and consistently. So whatever decisions are made at Premier League level, EFL and National League, you know, a similar and consistent approach needs to be made at our level and below. So, you know, that's my kind of opening statement. And then you get into the detail of, well, how best to do that? Is it a case of playing games when everybody's safe and, you know, this coronavirus problem is behind us, which clearly is of paramount importance, that we can't do anything until that is the case. But, you know, once football's returned, you know, one option would clearly be play out the remaining games. Or the alternative would be apply some kind of points per game ratio to existing, or sorry, to the remaining fixtures. But just to null and void the season when we literally have 9 games left in our case, it's just wrong and indeed inconsistent with the decisions that are being made elsewhere.
Absolutely. If this decision is upheld, do you think it's going to have lasting damage on, you know, non-league?
Yeah, I really do. And, you might think, or listeners might think, that's just being a little bit far-fetched. But, you know, the whole integrity of the English Football League pyramid, that whole pyramid across and down the UK, is going to be undermined by this. You know, I've had numerous clubs already, as I say, in touch with me expressing their outrage and their rejection of the decision, but also a number of them who are saying, well, look, you know, they almost feel like why continue? You know, you imagine just at a player level, at a coaching level, management, all the volunteers, the fans, you know, the list continues and goes on of the people that are affected by this. And as I say, I've had a number of clubs who have reached out and saying that they're really considering, you know, should they or indeed can they continue? So I do think it's got some quite far-reaching implications. And that's why I would implore the FA to pause and to reconsider. And that's certainly the message that we're all trying to communicate. So, you know, as I said, over 50 clubs already and the number's growing. We're trying to submit, you know, clear messages to the FA about us hoping that they can delay the decision, they can reverse the decision, and they can wait a little longer.
Yeah, I think it was Billy who said from Hastings that basically when we can get playing again, and he said, and you know, there could be a situation if they're finishing their leagues that we're sort of going to be in limbo, not having any games until the new season starts, which might even be sort of October, November, whenever that may be. And obviously, you know, non-league clubs can't survive without money coming in.
No, indeed. And, you know, there's the added issue of, you know, this coronavirus, God forbid that there's a second wave of it. You know, what do you do then if the you know, the subsequent season ahead of us becomes impacted? I mean, for my part, I would say, let's deal with the here and now, i.e., you know, we're 80% or so through the season. Let's try at all costs to complete that. And if that's not possible, apply a points per game ratio. And then you might run an argument, well, maybe that's harsh on clubs that might get relegated. So you might have some kind of concession in that regard where, you know, it just applies to clubs that want and are in a position to be promoted.
I think that's what makes the decision so hard, isn't it? Is because the, you know, if you're going to go on a points per game, there's always going to be people who are going to feel really hard done by that.
Yeah, it is difficult, but it's certainly a better option than just calling it null and void. So I accept that there's no perfect solution other than perhaps just delaying the season, the completion of the season, until we can complete it. And that will have an impact on the following season, but that might be a better option than just throwing away the efforts of this year. And again, you know, it's not just, I'm not saying this entirely from a South Shields perspective, although clearly that's, you know, my priority and that's where my focus is, but I make the point again, you know, this has far-reaching implications for so many people involved in this level of football and below, because it undermines the integrity of the entire system. And you know, I'm hoping that common sense, as I say, will prevail and that the FA will not ratify the decision. I'm led to believe the FA Council are due to meet this coming week. And, you know, I and others are doing all we can to make representations to that group in the hope that they can delay the decision or make a different decision.
Absolutely. Now, you sort of mentioned, and I've seen it in the press as well, sort of, you know, legal action against the FA. Do you think, you know, obviously it would be different if Liverpool were, someone's gone now.
Sorry.
Are you still there, Jeff?
Yeah, I am. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, obviously, you know, a club like Liverpool, Manchester City, the big boys at the top of the Premier League, have obviously got money and can sort of go down the legal route. Where would the non-league, do you think, chances of being able to do something like that?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that's our last resort, because clearly we hope that just through logic and proper debate and proper consultation, we can avoid that and that we can get people to see sense and, as I say, make a different decision. But in that eventuality, if this decision is ratified by the FA Council, then I'll be talking to the plethora of other clubs, of which they are now measured, as I've said, in the 50s and growing. We'll be talking about putting our collective thoughts together and collectively seeking legal advice and taking the matter forward from there. But, you know, I don't want to be, that almost implies a threat. You know, that's not the right way to behave, and that's not what we're trying to do. We're hoping that, as I say, logic and common sense can prevail, and fairness and consistency. But, you know, come that eventuality, you know, a significant number of clubs at our level would have the financial power and the nous to take that legal step. But, you know, again, I repeat myself, but that's not what we're hoping to achieve. But if that's necessary, then we'll have to consider it.
No, absolutely agree with you. And, you know, I do hope, I really hope myself, I do see sense. And my personal opinion is, I think this season needs to be finished just for the integrity of the games, to be honest.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I've even had clubs approach me who have said that they actually don't want to operate at their current level, so they may be in a relegation position. But, you know, financially, they can't afford to compete nor continue to operate that level. So this isn't just a convenient argument from me representing South Shields because we happen to be top of the league. I think there are implications for clubs at the lower end of their respective tables as well.
Absolutely. So I think I said to you just before we went live on air, what had come through to me that the FA Premier League and the EFL are currently planning to finish the 2019-2020 season behind closed doors over a period of 4 to 6 weeks starting in July. Can I have a take from you on that news? I know it's only just come through to you, but...
Has that just come through, Pete?
Well, it reinforces my point.
Yeah,
I wasn't aware of that until you mentioned it a few seconds ago. But what I would say is that just reinforces my point that you know, the inconsistency and the unfairness of the decision that's been applied to us at our level and below. What I would expect is that, you know, clubs at our level and below have an opportunity to consult, debate and participate in what would be the best and fair option or outcome, you know, at our level. And certainly... playing games behind closed doors might be an option. I mean, there's a financial implication, but that could be an option. As I said before, a points per game scenario might be another. So, you know, my point is that we've got to follow a process and we've got to consult and we've got to be participative and get people involved in this. And it sounds like that has been happening at sort of Premier League, EFL and National League level, but it certainly has. Hasn't been, in my opinion,
I couldn't agree more, to be honest. And like you said, to hear, you know, for people just to hear it over Twitter, I think it's absolutely disgraceful, to be honest.
Yeah, it is, I'm afraid. And, you know, the decision's just been entirely imposed on us. And there hasn't been the right level of consultation and debate and discussion. And so alternatives haven't been considered either, you know, or at least the opinions and views of clubs like ours, and indeed yours, you know, that, you know, we haven't had an opportunity to debate these things. So it just seems grossly unfair that the decision's just been, you know, kind of, well, imposed on us. And that's just not right.
Absolutely. Right, I'm going to thank you ever so much for your time, because I think we're running a little bit over at the moment.
Thank you very much.
No, thanks for coming on. Keep in communication with Barry. I'm sure you and Barry.
We are indeed.
and Billy, I'm sure you guys could get a meeting with the FA and kick him into touch to get him to see sense.
Well, there'll be no lack of effort from any of us, I'm sure of that.
Absolutely. So, again, Jeff, thank you ever so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, gentlemen. Jeff. Thanks a lot. Lads, and good luck to Worthing. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thank you. And to yourself.
Thank you. You got to pump it up, don't you know? Pump it up. You got to pump it up, don't you know? Pump it up. You got to pump it up. Rebel Yell Void.
Thank you very much to the chairman of South Shields, Jeff Thompson there. We have finally got Stu on the line. Stu, are you okay, mate? How have you been this week?
Yeah, lovely, mate. Loving every second of it.
Yeah, it's just a bit... I can tell the sarcasm in your voice there, mate. But, you know, I just want to also say, you know, this week, as a lot of you guys know, I'm a Charlton fan as well, and we lost one of our own fans, Seb Lewis, to this horrible, horrible virus. It took me aback a little bit. There's a thing going around on Twitter at the moment, guys. It's called hashtag stay home for Seb. If we could support that by chucking our Worthing scarves and, you know, shirts in the window, take a little photo and tagging that, it would be a really nice thing to support the guy. But on another note, a little bit more upbeat towards the end of the show now, we're going to pass it over to Sam, who's got some would you rather questions. So Sam, when you're ready, mate, we got Callum. Tom's had to go, he's got work to do, he's got to earn his bit of keep there. So Callum's back, Stu's here, and Jasper's back on. We've been talking about Barnetts and haircuts, and a little bit of slagging off the air there for a little short one to Stu was saying, but you know, I'm sure they can get their own back in a second. So guys, over to you, Sam.
Would you rathers, the Rebel Yell Void special questions. So the first one's for Callum. So Cal,
yeah,
would you rather stand in the wall for a Roberto Carlos free kick or have to have a 50-50 challenge with Roy Keane?
Tough one. And obviously get hit with the ball or not.
So you got a 50-50 challenge, ball's in the middle, two tackles. Yeah, you get hit with a ball from Carlos, absolutely.
Or a broken leg.
Hit from the ball. Roberto Carlos.
All right. I think I'd have to go for that one as well, to be honest. Bit of a shame. Right, now, James, next one. As you obviously like work for the airlines and stuff, would you rather never leave the UK again or be able to go anywhere you want in the world and never be allowed back to the UK?
Go anywhere else in the world, mate, to be honest. Like, you know, the UK sucks right now and it's showing it. Sorry, I'm not a UK hater, really. I do love it here, but, you know, on the South Coast. But I'd rather be somewhere else on a sunny beach. Like, I don't know why Callum ever left Australia, to be fair.
Yeah.
Or picking Barbados. Yeah, I know you were there last year, weren't you? So Barbados might be a good
Bahamas,
shout.
Bahamas. Right, this time last year, I was in the Bahamas.
Jasper, next question. Would you rather wear a Bognor shirt for 365 days of the year or live in a haunted house for the rest of your life?
Oh, I'd live in a haunted house. Yeah. Yay. I'm a good man. I'm a brave boy when it comes to haunted houses. I'll take anything on.
And that's the easy answer. No one wants to wear that shirt.
Oh,
not even for 1 hour or 1 minute, let alone 365 days.
Yeah.
Pete, if you were a pro footballer, would you have rather scored the Tony Bowyer goal for Leeds against Wimbledon? Do we all remember that one?
Yeah, absolute screamer.
Or Rooney's overhead kick for Man United v Man City?
Oh, Rooney's overhead kick any day of the week.
Off the shin.
Do we all agree with that?
Little shinner, top bins, Manchester derby. Yeah,
last minute. It just had everything, that goal, I think.
Your Bowers was a cracker, though.
He was good.
Keep-ups and off the bar and in. I'd probably go for that one, personally.
I think, I think your Bowers goal is technically the better goal. but just the circumstances of Rooney's goal, I think I'd have to have that one.
Absolutely, Jasper. Man after my own heart.
Right, Stu, you ready for a question?
Go on, mate.
Would you rather live without music or live without TV?
Music, 100% music. Yeah, not
what have you been watching on your telly?
What haven't I been watching, mate, to be honest with you? Only Fools and Horses about 40 times over. Premiership years about 40 times over. It's, 100% Stu, at the moment, mate. Music.
Have you only got Dave at home, Stu?
And you got Dave at home? No, Dave's not here, mate. There's no one else.
I wasn't on about your butler.
All right, back to Callum then. So, Cal, obviously you love scoring goals. With regards to scoring goals, you can only do one celebration for the rest of your career. Would you rather it be the aeroplane, so the classic from Montella, Ravanelli, Zola, etc., or the boxing gloves at the corner flag like Tim Cahill? I think I know what
it is. Timmy, the boxing one, Timmy,
So when we're back playing again, you're going to do that if you score for Sutton, boxing gloves at the corner flag?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll send it to you as well.
Brilliant. We'll look out for that. James, so in the Premier League,
hello.
Would you rather relegate Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea or Spurs?
Chelsea. Can I do Chelsea and Spurs, because I hate them both, to be fair? And I know that's just a dig at you as well.
Can if you want.
Yeah, Chelsea, yeah, Spurs, no, that's just because cool. You're all cocky.
That's fair. Right, Jasper.
Yes.
So you're playing for Valencia and Fiorentina, and you have a statue built for being the top goal scorer and the best ever player. Or
dreams.
You can score a hat-trick in the Champions League final for Real Madrid or Juventus, but you end up getting sold to like a lower league French team.
No, I want to be a club hero.
Club hero.
I want to be a Francesco Totti. Any day of the week.
So having that club statue built is the one for you.
Little club statue of me sucking my thumb. Beautiful. I can see it now.
In that feed.
Does anyone want to have a go at trying to draw in Jasper as a club statue outside Woodside for the next fanzine?
That's not happening.
Yeah, we'll put a little graphic design and have it on Twitter as well.
Oh.
Look forward to that one. Right, Pete, back to you. So obviously half-time food's quite a big one for football fans. If you had to scrap one, would you scrap the half-time chips or the half-time pies?
It would have to be not Woodside Road, obviously. Everywhere else, the pies.
Ooh.
You can't get rid of the chips. You can't get rid of the chips.
You can't get rid of pies, mate.
They're popular everywhere.
No, actually, saying that, Pete won't take the mickey out of me when I get given a pie for free at the end.
I'd get rid of the chips. It'd have to be the chips for me. I love a pie.
I think it would be for me as well. Steak and Stilton.
I do like to be different to everyone.
Jasper, what is it if you're in steak?
Oh no, it's just me and steak go together. Oh,
I got steak tonight, Jess.
Oh, Pete, invite me round.
Unfortunately, I can't.
You could do like a live Skype.
Self-isolating and all that.
Day, how about that? Final question. Final question goes to Stu. So, Stu, you can win the lottery, but you have to have someone take a penalty for you. Would you rather it be Lloyd Dawes or Ollie Pearce to win you the jackpot for the lottery?
Have you not seen Ollie Pearce's shooting? Oh my. Dawes all day long. Dawes's penalties are unreal. Ollie, you don't know what. No, where Ollie's head is half the time. So yeah, definitely Dawes.
His penalty at Carl Shorten in that last minute was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, what a penalty. What a penalty.
There you go.
Perfect. Sam, they're brilliant, mate. They were absolutely fantastic. What a bit of a laugh. It's been fantastic. I think there's a little bit of a delay on my mic. I don't know why. Good old Mixler problems here. But, chaps, it's been a pleasure as per usual. I've had a laugh. And thank you for the chairmans of the
James.
Respective clubs, South Shields and Hastings. Yeah?
James, Stuart's waited all afternoon for
for us to ask him his opinion.
Not at all. Go on, Stu. Ask your opinion. Here we go. Come on.
It's shite. It really is. No, excuse my French. It's yeah, it's not great. It's just.
I don't worry. We haven't listening got any to what
Barry,
to,
Barry and Billy have been saying. It's pretty much on par with what they've been saying. Really, it's just a rush decision that had no real basis, no thought process in terms of how it affects everybody, how it affects volunteers who put their life on hold for 8 or 9 months. It's a really, really bad decision. I appreciate there's bigger fish to fry, but yeah, it's a really, really bad decision that could have been held off and waited. There's always a way around everything. So if everybody got together, we could have come to a conclusion. So it's just, yeah, it's terrible. Gutting, absolutely gutting.
And have you seen that FA about the Premier League and the EFL?
Yeah, well, yeah. Again, that's been delayed. They'll continue delaying it. So there's no reason why. No one was asking. Yeah, I suppose there was a bit of pressure on the league, but no one was really asking them to make a conclusion now. Everybody knew where we were. And everybody knew that the season was potentially going to be dragged on a bit. And the reasons behind that were be patient. Let the clubs decide what they want to do in terms of finances and players' contracts and stuff like that, and just come to a conclusion. When it's the last, if this drags on till August, September, then fair enough. I mean, I think that you have to draw a line eventually, but we're in the end of March. Do you know what I mean? Let's see how things go, guys. Don't make a decision, because from a personal note, there's 8 or 9 months of my life put on hold that has been thrown away for nothing, really. And it's just, and also the players, it's just everybody. It's gutting. It really is gutting. But it is what it is. You've already got over this, so.
Well, no, it's a heartfelt cry for you, mate. We're just, we understand it. You know, we're all feeling the same. And, you know, seeing, obviously, Pete being on the line to the Jeff there, and, you know, that announcement being put out that they're going to delay it till July just kicks it even more, doesn't it? And I really hope, and I get the feeling, and I'm sure you guys on the line do as well, that this may not be the last we hear of this.
Hopefully not.
I think you've got to leave it in the club's hands as well. And all those interviews were great. They're all insightful, but the most positive thing that I'm going to take out of that is that they're all on the same wavelength. You know, they're all chatting about the same things. And if we're saying that potentially 50 clubs might appeal this, then the FA have to listen to that.
They've got to listen, mate.
Before I go, guys, can I just give another shout out to that GoFundMe page to the fans?
Yeah, go for it, mate. Just give it a shout. Yeah, do it now.
It's not a club endorsed one by any means. I don't think it is, but it's very kind of, like I said previously, the club, the founder set it up. It's raised quite a large sum of money, and I appreciate that everybody's struggling finances at the moment, but it would really help the club out. Potentially, we're going to have 4 or 5 months of no money being put into the football club whatsoever, the bar or anything really. If anybody's got some change to throw in, I would really appreciate it.
No, mate, of course. We'll do anything we can. Obviously, you know, money's tight for everyone at the moment. People look at jobs, but if there's anything you can spare, you know, just chuck it a little bit, even a couple of quid or whatever, that you might buy a pint down the club, you know, because I, for one, am missing those Saturdays. I know, Pete, you wrote a heartfelt letter to the FA this week, Sam. And, you know, players like Callum, Jasper, you just chomping at the bit to probably get going. This is what you're used to every Saturday.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, doing laps around my house, taking out my brother with a 2-foot tackle, do you know what I mean? Just eager to get back on the pitch, and people say keep yourself ticking over, which I am, getting out every day, but nothing compares to 3 o'clock on a Saturday, does it? And we all know that, and just getting back to that ASAP.
That's it. You know, we all miss it big time. Callum, we haven't really spoken to you that much. I do apologise. How have you settled in at Sutton, and how's it all going there?
Yeah, no, it's really good. I'm enjoying it a lot, actually. It's right before this all stopped, I think a game or so ago, I've got my first start and stuff, so it's good to be involved in that. And then, like everyone, this sort of stuff comes at a bad time and all, but yeah, I've just got to wait and see. Obviously, my season's still going for a bit. More than likely, probably be called off, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I'll find out soon where I stand with next season and see how I go from there. Yeah, I suppose.
And how's David and Omar?
Yeah, no, they're good. It's good. I didn't know Omar before, so I got in, and obviously knowing Dave was good, so he introduced me. And then, yeah, them boys obviously been at Worthing, but everyone else has been, class, to be honest. There's no big egos or anything. Everyone's good good lad and stuff. So yeah, it was good.
Glad to hear that you settled in well there, Callum, with regards to the fanzine as well. If anyone missed the fanzine, there is the cult hero section with Omar in this edition issue. Yeah. So you can still pay through PayPal, £3.50 for a fanzine, just to keep you going while we've not
played. How many could you have? You say you got, Sam, is it 45 you reckon you've ordered at the moment?
Yeah, there's about 45 orders that we had at the moment. There's still sort of back issues available for issues 2 and 3. You can buy the e-copies as well of issue 1. So if you missed out on any of them, they are all available. And as Stu said, that money will ultimately help the club at the moment while there's no finances coming in.
Try to get it up to 60 by the end of this weekend, guys. Let's see if we get 60 orders. Another 15 overnight and tonight when you're sort of listening back to this. You know, this has been a pleasure again, and it's not one we really expected to do today. We were planning to do one possibly next weekend. Not saying we're not going to do it next weekend. It's a fluid situation with this virus and football in general, as we've seen. So, chaps, I mean, I think you guys are on call. We can see if we could do something else very soon. I think it's been amazing the amount of listeners we've had today. I don't know if you guys have been keeping. We had over 77 at one stage, you know, for a short little
83 thing. At the moment.
Was it 83 at the moment? Well, I mean, this is it, guys. Just thank you for, like, you know, giving us a bit of pleasure to do on a Saturday at 3 o'clock. You know, we enjoy doing this. And, you know, thanks to Billy and Jeff for joining in, and obviously Barry ourselves, you know, he's spent a bit of his time today and listening, and Hinch, yeah, and obviously, you know, Callum, thank you. You know, obviously it's been a bit more content heavy today. We're, you know, last week if you listen, we had a bit of a more of a chatty one, which we're hoping to do again. But you know, if you guys, Jasper, I know you're always keen for it, and you know, Tom, thanks for joining in, and any of the other players, guys, if you want to get Omar on, Callum, if you've got his contacts, or, you know, if you want to get David back, and, you know, a bit of a, you know, thing, and we have just a little good old chat rather than getting people in, we can have a nice little sort of chat, like almost like a locker room type thing, and do things like that. You know, it'd be really good to put the show over to you guys and have a bit of a laugh, and tell your players how to install Skype, because they don't seem to know how to do the basics of downloading something from the App Store. But, you know, anything you'd like to leave us with, guys? Any sort of parting thoughts from Sam, Pete, you know, Stu?
I keep saying but it really is just one day at a time. One day at a time, keep the faith. That's all from me.
Yeah, I'd say to everyone, please adhere to the rules. Stay at home. Stay safe. Look after your families that are in the house with you. But yeah, just abide by the rules, and hopefully in a few weeks we'll get past this, and we'll be back at the crucial environmental before we know it.
Stu?
Not really, mate. Yeah, just echo what those boys have said, really. Just, yeah, stay safe and just keep the momentum going with the FA in terms of pushing them and the petitions and stuff like that, because hopefully they'll start listening to fans and actually think, actually, yeah, we've made a decision. I think it's more league-based than it is FA, really. So it's been league as well. Just bombard them both. Yeah, just keep them going, really. Just they'll hopefully listen to you guys and get the momentum going, and yeah, all the best to Cal as well. I haven't seen you in a while, buddy, so take care, miss you down there, pal, so hopefully see you soon.
I will miss you down there, mate. Yeah, Cal, any final bits from you, mate?
No, just a pleasure to be on. Everyone listen, just stay safe.
Okay, Jas, last but not least.
It's obviously everybody's itching, and not just in the football community, all around the world, and everyone wants to get back to normal, but I think just what you boys said, the more patience and time we take, the quicker things will move back to normality. Sometimes people think, oh, we've got to do things now, and they've got to happen really quickly for everything to go back to normal, but it's not always going to be like that, and I think we're going to have to be patient and just, yeah, exactly, stay safe and stick to the government guidelines, and before you know it, hopefully we'll all be back to normal and everything will be as it was.
And if anyone wants to send Jasper a steak, I'm sure you can get in touch with him on socials and he'll give you his address.
I'd be more than happy to receive it.
Do I have to address it to the mayor of Worthing?
Yeah, no, anything, yeah. Anywhere you like, you can call it whatever you like, whether it's
mayor
the
of
boss,
Worthing,
Jasper,
it'll be soon.
The mayor of Worthing, Quadzilla, whatever you like, just as long as it's got my address on, I'm happy.
Brilliant.
You're very kind. You are extremely painful then.
Guys, thank you so much. Thanks for the listeners. You know, it's hit home this week for more personal reasons than one. You know, stay safe, stay indoors, you know, keep your distance. Let's do this all again soon, guys. Thank you so much. And please just thank stay you. Home for Seb, guys. I'll speak to you soon and we'll have a good one.
Cheers,
this is a baby. See you later, guys. Take care of yourselves.
Cheers.
Bye. Your sunshine. Yeah.
your sunshine, shining down on me.
Guys and girls, once again, thank you for those that you tuned in to RebelYell.live this past Saturday for the live broadcast of Void. As promised, you have heard the podcast now. If you want to buy a fanzine, then please do PayPal us at paypal.me/RebelYellWFC. And Sam will send it out in the post. It's £3.50. And just keep supporting us, guys. We'll be live again soon. But thank you. Please stay safe. Wash your hands. And remember, stay home for Seb. Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.